Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Center for Christian Music Studies at Baylor University. This podcast was recorded at the 2012 Alleluia Conference. For more information about Alleluia, visit our website where you will find conference dates and details, audio and video recordings, and a list of confirmed clinicians for next summer's event. For this information and more, visit us online at www.baylor.edu/alleluia.
My name is Chuck Ridwell, and I just mentioned this a moment ago. I was in full-time music ministry for 43 years, and I started when I was 5 years old. Not really. 43 years in full-time ministry, and served in four churches during those 43 years. My first church was in Paducah, Kentucky, First Baptist Church. My second was in Oklahoma City, Trinity Baptist Church. My third church was in Miami, Florida, University Baptist Church in Coral Gables, where more than half of my ministry, I was there for 24 years. And then the last 11 years of my full-time ministry was right here in Waco at Columbus Avenue Baptist Church. Pretty much I found out when I left a church, I'd better leave the state too. So it's harder to hit a moving target that way. So, but anyway, we were really blessed to be able to serve in some really fine churches over those years. What I'm going to be presenting to you today is going to be very practical. Everything that I'm presenting are things that I've done, so I feel like they worked, or if they didn't work, I'll let you know. But this is not theory, this is practice things to help you know how to grow your choir larger and hopefully better. It's not choir clinic at all, but how to grow your choir and also how to promote the events that you plan with your music ministry or your choir. So let's go ahead and get started. First, in how to grow your choir, there are going to be three main areas we're going to be looking at: recruiting choir members. Now, by the way, I have right here just the outline of what I'm saying, and you may want to make notes to the side, but just about everything that's on the screen is going to be right here, so that will help you that way. So it's on the table if you haven't gotten one of those yet. How to grow your choir. First of all, recruiting choir members, then we're going to talk about motivating your choir members in their involvement in the choir, and then maintaining choir members, how you keep the back door as shut as possible. It's impossible to have a choir where people don't leave your choir, but how do you keep your choir going once you've got them, or members motivated once you've got there? So this is the first part of it, is how to grow your choir. Recruiting choir members. I thought you might enjoy this. If you ask me, they got a little carried away with a choir membership drive. Yeah, wouldn't that be a nice problem to have? First of all, finding prospects. The best way that I've found to find prospects is at the beginning of the choir year. Once again, some of these things you may have done over and over, but this is what's worked for me. For two or three Sundays, I have a half sheet, very brief, succinct, so people will fill it out. If the survey's too detailed, they won't. I take this music survey the first two or three Sundays of September or the end of August, whenever your church year starts, and when everyone is back into after vacation. Now, there are four basic things that I ask on this survey. And number one is, what are your favorite congregational songs? And I put it like, I don't say hymns or praise chorus, you know, just congregational songs. And people can list anything they want. That gets them involved. It also is good information for you, but more than it gets them starting to fill out the survey. The question, have you sung in a choir before? Not do you want to sing in my choir, but have you ever sung in a choir? And that tells you something as you begin recruiting. Next of all, do you play a musical instrument? If you have an orchestra, or if you need pianist or organist or whatever in your children's choirs, or this will help you find some instrumentalists that way. But if you do have musical groups like orchestra, helps you find that. And then finally, the fourth is, do you know someone who sings or plays an instrument? And that is helps, you know, some people won't fess up themselves, but yeah, Susie Q, boy, she's got a good voice, but Susie Q may not fill out a survey that way. So that helps you find people. Now, it's a little more detailed than that, but those are the four basic things we try to find out. I've always had an outreach choir officer, somebody in my adult choir whose main focus is helping find new choir members. And I work with that choir officer. I work in different ways, but their focus is outreach. I also have an in-reach officer, but I won't go into all of that, choir officers. But outreach is an important one. One thing that I always do is contact every new member. Now, if you have people who join your church, now I'm a Baptist background, and I don't know that all churches do this, but a Baptist like to, you know, if somebody joins a church, they have them up front, you walk by and you shake their hand. Well, I get in that line just with everybody else, and I ask them, have you ever sung in a choir before? And if they say yes, I said, well, look, I'm going to call you about this later. I don't try to recruit them in the line and hold up the rest of the line. But I just make a note that, you know, they may be prospects for the choir. But contact each new choir member. And sometimes I'll also have my choir officer in charge of outreach contact the new church members either by phone or whatever. There is nothing like one-on-one recruitment by the director of the choir. Now, there are other ways to recruit, and sideways and promotions and all of that, but your one-on-one recruitment is the most important and most effective way to do that. Now, when you recruit, there are always reasons why I can't be in the choir. And I'm not going to talk about all of those, but here are some. Some say, well, I just don't know if my schedule or whatever. Well, I've been offering through the years a six-week, no-obligation trial. And I basically say, well, let's do this. If you would do this, let's let you be in the choir for 6 weeks. At the end of 6 weeks, if you find out it's not for you, I'll say, thanks for giving it a try. I really appreciate it. And bless you as you go onto the parking committee or, you know wherever you may end up serving in the church or teaching center. The choir's not for everyone, even though we'd like to think it is, but it's really not for everyone. But at least, I find out that most people who give it 6 weeks will give it 6 years and will stay in the choir. Not everyone, but the majority, more will stay in the choir than not stay in the choir. I also don't really have an audition, but I have a no-obligation voice evaluation that I offer people. And this is more true with men than women. I'll say, hey, have you been in choir before? Well, yeah, I was in the fifth grade, but my choir director said I sang awful, or my brother made fun of me, or whatever. And I'll just say, hey, I bet you could do it. Could you go with me right now into the choir room, and in 3 minutes I can give you just a real, and I'll just do a little scale, we'll do maybe sing Amazing Grace or My Country Tis of the, or something like that, to give me an idea very quickly, and we can do that if somebody is choir material. And I will say at the end of that 2 or 3 minutes, I don't keep them a long time, I said, you know, you'd be perfect in the choir, I'd love for you to give it a try, what do you think? So, again, I've gotten a lot of choir members that way, but I've also found some people whose brother was right. Yeah, not so good. But even then, I invite them, if you'd like to give a choir a try, I'd be glad to. You have to work on it a little bit and that sort of thing. But also finding a convenient rehearsal time. I know you've got to fit into the rest of the church and what the church is doing on whenever yours is. Now, you may have a separate night for your choir. Is that the best time? When is the best time for you to have choir in your situation? And finding that, and choir practices tend to start a little too late and end a little too late, particularly if you're trying to recruit young couples with children. What can you work out to find the best choir time? Because that's an objection. Well, it's just too late because I've got a 3-year-old, and you've heard that many times.
So what time was your choir rehearsal?
Well, You mean in a perfect world? I think in a perfect world, starting no later than 7. But that's not always possible if you come after prayer meeting or after something else. Better even yet is more like 6:30 to 8 is really a great time. They're done by 8 o'clock, and that's not too late even for little children. That would be my thought on that. And once again, child care issues. Do you offer child care during choir? What do you do if you don't? What do you do about those kids? And the other thing is, what about people who on Sunday were singing in the choir, but who's going to sit with my kids? Well, I've had done a campaign of choir parents, of people who would let kids sit with them while their parents sing in the choir. Or sometimes mama sings one week and daddy sings the next week. So you've got to work those kinds of objections out. Another really sort of recruiting thing that's worked for me, and I got this from a friend of mine, actually. Some of you may know Tommy Lyons, used to be First Baptist San Antonio. He talked to me about summer hummers. I said, what's that? And he said, well, it's people who in the summertime, maybe they're school teachers and they're just too tired, but they'll sing during the summertime to help fill the spots of people who are gone. And so for the last 15 or 20 years of my full-time ministry, I had a thing we call summer hummers. And we'd identify people, we'd ask choir members who would be good summer hummers, and then maybe invite 40 or 50 people who are on a list. 15 or 20 of them will sign up, and it's between June 10th and August 15th, or a designated time for these. Even if you're out of town 1 or 2 weeks, would you sing as many of those Sundays as you can? And so those we call summer hummers. That's sort of cheesy, I know, but caught people's attention. And my experience with it, if you had 10 summer hummers, that 3 or 4 of those would stay on in the choir. Some would just say, see you next summer. That's fine, because I needed them next summer too. But some would just jump in the choir and stay in the choir. You may have seen the squeal on a singer. This is an old-fashioned idea. Basically, where you put out a little crazy thing like that in your church bulletin as an insert and ask people in the congregation, if you know anyone who can sing, write their name on this piece of paper and turn it into us. And so this is just a fun little thing that helps you recruit from that way. Through the years, I've done a lot of creative promotional pieces. Some of them were all church pieces that were trying to recruit everyone who would into the full, and some were just targeted for a junior high choir, or a senior high choir, or adult choir, or children's choir. Let me show you some of these. Now, these are not real sophisticated. In fact, some of these were sort of before really good graphic art stuff. University Singers was my college choir at University Baptist in Coral Gables. And just that needs you, and just want you in choir. But just a little peep, better than anything on television. Then it shows all the choirs that are going on and when they're starting down here. This is a promo piece that we sent to everyone in the whole congregation. Close Encounters of the Best Kind. This was many years ago when Close Encounters was a sort of a big deal. Sunshine Singers was our junior high choir, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade choir in Miami. If I were in your shoes, I would join Celebration Singers. That was our high school choir, and just a sort of a silly picture of big old shoes. But it's just something that grabs their eye, and they might read it and be inclined to be involved. I have the formula for the best year ever in UBC, University Baptist Church Adult Choir, and the most important ingredient is you. So we were having a choir roundup rehearsal and just something to get the choir started with them. This is a warning, do not open this. And it says, I tricked you. Now you're stuck reading this card that will try to get you to join Sunshine Singers. That was junior high choir. So just sort of a little catchy. These are not hard to create at all, but would get their attention. I sort of ripped off Pizza Hut just a little bit with a cross on the top. free pizza. So we had a choir enrollment pizza party. I can't remember. And then we opened up their picture of a big old pizza. And then once again, this was our junior high choir. And bring all your friends. And just a really simple piece, didn't say much, but it just got choir started with that bunch. We sent out a draft notice. And we need a few more a few good men, you know, a few more good men and women. And this was, I think, for adult choir, I believe. Yeah, adult choir. Draft dogs we sent out. And then several languages quickly, basically. In other words, now is the time to sign up for the new music ministry year. This was an all-church piece that we sent out that had that sort of thing. So, this was a fun one. Don't even think about opening this scary mail because we've seen it and it's, oh no. It's this. Yikes. You decided to open it, look out, watch out. Then this is high school choir. Celebration singing will begin September 7th. I tried to warn you, but you wouldn't listen. This could mean one thing. You must be brave enough and smart enough to qualify as a member of this group. So just a little catchy, fun way to get there. And it talked about the mission trip that we'd be taking later on, a little bit of information. Oh, this is maybe my all-time favorite. And I've actually got a few samples of that. It's right here. What we did is during Sunday school, I got some of my choir people, and we went out and put this parking ticket on every car in the choir lot, in the whole parking lot at our church. So everyone came out for church, and of course they weren't looking at each other. They came to their car and said, "Parking ticket." Of course, this is not a parking ticket. The parking ticket's a big word. It's an invitation to join one of the CABC, this is Plymouth Avenue Baptist Church. That was a thing I did here in Waco. And then he just lists all of the choirs and the music staff and all of that. And then I signed it at the bottom. But it sort of just looked at it like that. It looked like a parking ticket. But it gets their attention. I guarantee you it got their attention. And that's the idea of just stirring things up just a little bit. Now, recruiting choir members. Choir enrollment contest. We're still under the recruiting. One of the contests we had, a football kickoff contest, where you have three or four teams. Now, in this case, this was an older one. I used this through the years. This may have been the first time I did it in 88, and then I did it a few years later. But these were the three captains, David's Green Giants. I don't know if you know the name David Hamilton out of Nashville. He was when he was doing his master's work in Miami, the University of Miami, he was my pianist, and then later on my full-time associate, but he, at the time he was my pianist, and Vicki was the choir president. She really appreciated that picture, by the way. And Russell Young, who's head of the opera program at Kennesaw State University now in Atlanta, was my organist at the time. He was getting his doctorate in piano accompanying time, but he was my organist there, but they were our three captains. And they drafted, we threw out the whole enrollment of the choir. Nobody was in the choir. The enrollment was zero. And then they would draft people to be on their team, just like the NFL draft, sort of based on the little old lady who never missed was their number one draft choice. You get the idea. And so they would draft all the way through the enrollment. We had, when we started this contest, we had, I think, 150 in the choir. And so we put everyone out, and that's a little scary, but we ended up, what we were doing, our motivation at that time is we were going from two services to three services, and we needed three choirs meeting at three different times, but we weren't going to duplicate anyone, so we needed to grow the choir. And so we ended up in a six-week period getting 96 new members in the choir, so we ended up with 246. Now, they didn't all stay. We ended up with 220 acting, but that's pretty good, and for us that was really, really good, a matter of growth. But they got all excited. What we did, we got, everyone got shirts. Let me see what else. Oh, you see, now this, I did at Columbus Avenue. This was in the year 2000, like the year that you saw in 1988, it was in 88. Everyone had the number 88, but some had, David's Green Giants had green t-shirts with UBC 88 on it, and red and blue, whatever their colors were. And then if you enrolled somebody, you got a touchdown. If they wore the shirt, you got an extra point. And if they showed up the next week, you got a field goal. And so you ended up with scoring like that. Another one, the year of the Olympics, so this would be a good year. I'm maybe a little late, but maybe not. Five colors of the Olympic rings. We had five teams. Gold, blue, black, green, and red, and same thing. Let me see if I have. Yeah, here we go. We had a CABC 2008. This last time we did this, last Olympics, and they all had white rings. But this was a blue, it doesn't look that blue, but that's a blue shirt, green shirt, and then we had the other colors of the Olympic rings, and sort of the same thing. Here I'm holding, we had gold, the medal was a gold medal, and the teams would get gold, Brett. I think aluminum was in last place. Seemed like, as I remember. Okay. Now this may not be politically correct these days, but first time we did this was actually in Oklahoma, and we had Native American tribes, and we had the sopranos, altos, tenors, and basses were each a tribe, and we had a totem pole, just boxes like this, and in the choir room, whoever was in first place was on top of the totem pole, and we had points. I can remember how we did the points, but basically it would shift every time you had Sunday or Wednesday, who's on top of the totem pole. So you try to end up at the top of the totem pole. You see the tribes, we had that right there. I had some actually Native Americans in my choir, and they didn't seem offended. So I hope they weren't or wouldn't be now. Bring a friend to choir is just a real simple, you can have a special Wednesday night, just everyone bring, no obligation, to bring a friend to choir, and we'll just have a good time in choir. Inevitably, some of those will end up joining the choir, will enjoy what they say. Most won't. 80% won't come back, but 20% will. And let you know that. Four voice part competition, just sopranos against the tenors against the altos and bass. When you do that, you have to do sort of percentages rather than numbers, because most choirs have more somethings than others, on more sopranos or more altos. So you have to do by percentages, but you can just do within the voice parts. One time in Miami, we had local sports teams. We had four different teams again. The Miami Dolphins, the Florida Marlins, Miami Heat, and the Florida Panthers, the hockey team. And so they had a competition like that. So you get the idea. Oh, this is fun, the choir swapping. This is where your choir challenged another choir, probably in your same town, that was about the same size, and you tried to build your enrollment. And the winner, the winning music minister, got the pie in the face. You'd work harder for your music director to get the pie in the face than you would for the other guy. And so you worked as hard as you can, so your leader would get the pie in the face. And you'd have a combined big fellowship afterwards, after 4 or 5 or 6 weeks. And that's sort of a crazy little thing, but it's a motivational thing, and people go for that and have fun with it. And that's one of the things, is having fun in choir and enjoying.
Do you have a picture of that, of you getting the pie?
There is a picture of me getting the pie, but but I don't have it with me. Okay, now motivating choir members. We're in our second main thing. The choir experience, when you don't want a bait and switch deal. They show up to choir, I didn't know it'd be like this, you know. So you want it to be a good experience. So in this idea, it's important of how you greet people when they walk through the choir room door, or you may practice in your sanctuary or wherever you do it. You need to make sure you've got choir officers or somebody who's there who recognizes them as a new member or a visitor, and makes them feel really special that they have come. And how you enroll them, you know, you need to be prepared, have a quick and easy way to enroll them where they're not bogged down with that, but that you're able to get them on the roll. You may get other information later on. How you introduce them to the choir. And sometimes new members come, they're never introduced, you don't even know that they were there. Make sure that you make a big deal out of them coming, even if you have new members every week, and most of us don't. But even if you have often new member, make a big deal out of any time you have, and how you. And by the way, when I say how you introduce them, if you know something about them, hey, this is Janie Jones. She teaches school at Arrowhead Elementary School in the fourth grade. You know, anything you know about, any personal thing that you know about them that's more than here's Jeannie, class, whatever. How you rehearse the choir. And once again, this is true for any of us. We need to make choir rehearsal interesting, good, and appealing. It just has to happen. You need to make it less than routine. And it's really easy to get into a routine. And this not only impressing new people, but also impressing people that you have, because you're motivating the choir. How you connect them into the choir. What do they have, a choir buddy? Do they have a care group? Do they? How do they? What we would do sometimes at Columbus Avenue, I had one choir officer who was in charge of taking them immediately after choir, taking them into the choir. We practiced in our sanctuary, taking them into the choir room, showing, you know, assigning them their robe just then, show them where the robe room, tell them the procedure of how we do Sunday morning, where to get their music. And so when they come the next Sunday, they've been through that routine with that person. And then that same choir officer Sunday morning is ready when to greet them again and make sure that they feel really welcome. So that's how you connect them into the choir itself. Creating then a family atmosphere. A greeting time in choir. We would always have just a little time. We can't take too much time for all of these things, but these things are important. And sometimes in a greeting time, I said, okay, everyone knows everyone's face, but I bet everyone doesn't know everyone's name. I want you to find two people who you don't know their name and introduce yourself or whatever. Or sometimes just crazy stuff. I want you to find three people and find out what their middle name is. You know, you may know their first name and last name. Just something that would mix people out and make them feel good. Maybe having care groups of 8 or 10 people and a care group leader who would be in charge of whatever. Now, I won't take a lot of time with what care groups can do, but most of you are familiar with that. But a family atmosphere that way. From time to time in choir, I wouldn't do this often, maybe once every 6 to 8 weeks. At the end of choir, I would quit 10 or 15 minutes early and send people out into the sanctuary, okay, and have a January through December sign. And I said, who was born in January? I was, okay, take your group, everyone born, follow them, and they'll get together. And then do sort of like a Quaker question kind of thing, okay, what's your favorite hymn, or how long have you been in the choir, or, you know, just things like that, or maybe goofy stuff, what's the least favorite movie you've ever seen, or doesn't really much matter. What it does, it connects people to each other, and they feel a family kind of atmosphere. Choir devotionals. Devotionals, I should say, and prayer time as well. And this is a little tricky because you want it to be a spiritual experience as well. But sometimes, now in my choir Columbus, the choir president always, that was one of their deals that they had done for years even before I got there. So I let them continue for the choir president to give a 3-minute devotional time to begin choir. We would have a choir toward the end, not always at the end, we would have a prayer time. We would have prayer cards people could fill out. Prayer requests can go on and on and on and on, and that's important. But it is one thing that we can do, devotionals and prayer time. One thing that we started doing just my last 3 or 4 years, no matter the size you require, whether you've got 20 in the choir or 120, people don't always remember each other, in particular when you have new members. So we started, actually I got this from Singing Men of Texas, the whole idea here, and online, this is a PDF, and your computer people know how to do this easily, but it just shows whatever information they'll allow, and I really never had anyone object to this. We had a security password to get into this off of our church website and off the music ministry and sanctuary choir website into the choir directory. But here are a picture and their basic information. And that's not that hard to do, but it's much easier to keep up than trying to do a printed thing even every 6 months, because it's out of date the next time one person joins. But you can do this on Thursday morning after Wednesday night rehearsal and you're up to date in the pictorial directory. Birthday cards. This is something I wish I'd done my whole ministry. I didn't, but I did my last 8 or 10 years. That is, I sent a birthday card to every person in anything I directed. Adult choir, orchestra, if I was a youth ensemble, men's ensemble, if I was doing the youth choir at the time. And what I would do is I would have my secretary, my administrative assistant, like the middle of June, bring me all of July's birthdays. And I would personally, and I'm the world's worst at wanting to do personal notes and cards, and I'll confess that. But it was one of the most fun things that we ever did. And I had an administrative assistant who was an incredible graphic artist. And so she helped me develop these cards. And here is one, and for starting in January for the whole year. A birthday cake, $15. A birthday present, $25. A birthday card from your minister of music.
Priceless.
Have a very special day. And then at the bottom, I would say, Susie, happy birthday, Chuck. And, you know, handwritten. And then I would hand address the envelope and give those back to the secretary. She would put a stamp on them, and like 2 days before their birthday, she would send that out. And rarely would a Sunday go by that I didn't have one or two or three people come up, oh, that's, you know, funny card, thank you for sending it, or I get an email about it. Let me show you a few other. By the way, she got this picture of me and kept using it. Not here. Now, this was when American Idol first came out. And this was actually here. This is Brittany, the one who did all the designing. That's Stephen Aber, who was my organist at the time. And you know how they had Coke on American Idol? We had Diet Dr. Pepper. Do you want to be the next American Idol? Fat chance. But I'm really glad you're part of our music ministry. And I say, Freddie, happy birthday, Chuck. Yeah, just real simple to do. Another birthday, another year older. But you don't have to get bent out all bent out of shape. And so she was, obviously that's only my face, not my body, or I would still be in that position. Let me see. There were many things to be thankful for the day you were born. A caring nurse, a capable doctor, a nice warm blanket. And of course, that your first baby picture didn't look like this. And then, well, once again, personal down at the bottom. Be sensitive to recognize achievements by, if one of your kids gets valedictorian or named on the All-Star or the All-County football team or the whatever, give them a call, give them an email. If one of your adults, wins some sort of election in the city or is promoted and you know about that, contact them. Let them know that. And also, be really sensitive to go to hospital, funerals, weddings, and events. That's such a meeting. You probably do that automatically. Just remember, you're a minister first and a musician second. You really need to be their pastor. You're really more their pastor than the pastor is in many, many cases. In your church, you're closer to them, they know you better, etc. So anything, when I say events, that means like concerts your people are in or sporting events or anything like that. Choir beginning parties. We all would always have a choir, some sort of a party to start the year. We did a few on game shows, Who Wants to Be a Billionaire. Now, this was obviously years ago when Millionaire first came out. We did this. And I went to the church finance person and got some actual money. And she stood there like that, musicians and money. But anyway, so I was Regis, and we had a deal, and I bought the CD that had the theme music on it. We had the lights going down and dimming like Millionaire and had people up doing questions. And it was just a fun way to get back into choir and just $2 a person. No big deal on the program other than we just use that game show as the entertainment. We did another one, Family Feud. And on that one, we did a choir survey, survey says. Well, I did the survey like 4 months or 5 months before this. The choir didn't know what I was doing, but I was asking them questions, knowing that we were going to do a family feud. And so by that time, they'd forgotten that we had done that. So then we did a family feud and had a team of sopranos, a team of altos, a team of tenors, a team of basses, and just like family feud. And then we had a runoff between the top two families. And so that was fun. People enjoyed that. Western Roundup, Cowboy Roundup. And this was just where we Well, we had Uncle Dan's Barbecue, which is a neat barbecue place here in town. They catered this particular event, and we had Wild West, Uncle Chucky's Fun Time, and just trivia about the Old West or cowboy stuff. So just a fun thing. Come as a song. I don't know if you've ever done this, but where you had the choir dress up as some sort of song. Let me give you an example. This is back to choir party, come as a song, etc. Examples, we put this on the jingle bells, attach bells to your clothes, or you know, something like that. Crown him with many crowns, with king with a crown on his, whatever. It doesn't have to be a secular song or religious song, but here are some. Who is that? Who do you think? What song is this? Yeah, Lady of Spain. Okay.
Three Blind Mice.
Three Blind Mice. Can you see on her head?
No.
Snowflakes. So whiter than snow. She wore all white outfit. And so she, you were supposed to come and not tell anyone what your song was, and people would try to guess your song.
A white sport coat.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation. This would remind me of the guys in the choir. And I think this next one will be sort of obvious. These were two couples that were best friends, and they came as YMCA. So it was not hard to guess that one, but everyone had fun with that, and it got creative. They didn't have to, I said, if you don't want to dress up, just come just as I am. You know, just show up. We don't care. Just show up. Another back to choir party, a sports theme. And Sports Illustrated, this was Brett Favre. It became me with my secretary's skills to be able to do that. But we went to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, which is here in Waco, and we rented that ourselves and had the whole place to ourselves. And the menu was Cracker Jacks and hot dogs and, you know, just stuff you'd buy at a ball game. We did that another year. Secretary went to my wife and found this picture of, this is an actual picture of me in the 70s. There were four of us that played tennis every Friday morning in Miami for 20-something years, and that's when the tennis shorts were a little shorter. But we also, she put me on a Wheaties box, and we did once again another time at the Sports Hall of Fame about 5 years, probably earlier, I don't remember actually. Celebrate special events. And once again, this is under the heading of motivating your choir members, keeping them excited and interested in what you do. In Waco, we had a chili bowl. That was during the bowl season. It was right after Christmas, early January, I should say. Chili bowl after the Christmas production. We get the whole cast together. In our deal, it was children through adults, youth. We get the backstage crew in there, costume makers. Anyone who had anything to do, outreach, anything to do with the Waco Christmas celebration, we come together and have the chili bowl. We celebrate it. We show some videos. We show a slideshow. We'd have trivia. We'd have door prizes. Just crazy stuff. All fun. In Miami with our production, we had a pageant pizza party. And it was sort of the idea. We still get together and have that same kind of thing. Choir tour reflections after you've been on some sort of choir tour or mission event, just getting together and just refreshments, very informal, just talking about it, enjoying that. End of the year parties. We always have an end of the year. I'm a big believer in social events with your people, just doing other than just the choir thing on Wednesday night and Sunday. End of the year parties. We had this year. Let's see. We had a cruise to nowhere. That is, we dressed up our fellowship hall middle at the inside of a cruise ship, and had a big, you know, one of those big steering wheel things, and we had a nautical theme, and people dressed sort of tropically like you would if you were going on a cruise, and had a program and a fun kind of a thing like that. Mexican Fiesta, we got one of the local Tex-Mex places to cater this, and my wife and myself, we got the big sombreros and took every couple or every person, took a picture of everyone, and then gave it to them as a memento of coming to the party. And Now, a river cruise or a bay cruise. Now, in Waco, that's the Waco Bridge, and this is the Brazos River, and they had a little boat that you could charter and put 80 or something people on it, 75 or 80 people, and so we would charter that. We take our own food, and where it wasn't too terribly expensive, like $10 a person, and just go up and down the Brazos River, and we had it for a couple of hours or 3 hours. But people really enjoyed that. No real program. We did have, I think, played just some fun music, and I can't remember. I think we may have done some prize drawings. I can't remember, but just mainly getting out together. Oh, let me also say, when I was in Miami, we rented a boat and went out on Biscayne Bay, which is a little more picturesque than the Brazos River. But we enjoyed that as well. But I think our people on the Brazos enjoyed it as much as our people in Miami enjoyed Biscayne Bay, just getting together. Plan training opportunities, weekend choir clinics. Sometimes you can bring in a composer or just a very good choral clinician. This motivates your choir members to get better. If you have somebody close who's a composer or a really good, fine choral clinician, consider doing that. A composer weekend, I mentioned that. I have Bob Burrows come to Miami, and Dr. Warren Angel, who is an old name, most of you may not know him, but he was my mentor at Oklahoma Baptist University. I had him come to Miami. Cindy Berry does these kinds of things. Joe Martin does them. So get in a composer weekend. Now this is one of the most interesting things that we ever did. One time I had a composer weekend, and I wasn't real happy with the number of people showed up. We had a good number, but certainly not everybody. So I got an idea. I had a guy in my choir who's an outstanding high school choral director, one of the top, Jeff Rice is his name. He's at Midway High School here in Waco. Amazing choral guy. And so I said, okay, Jeff, what we're going to do, is, our choir was about an hour and a half long. We're going to stop 30 minutes in. I want you to give 30 minutes of a choir clinic for a month, for 4 weeks, a month-long choir clinic. And so he gave 30 minutes, so I ended up with 2 hours. The benefit with that is everyone was there. Now, it wasn't as good probably as a week. If everyone had come on the weekend, it wasn't as good as that, but it was really good because he could do in 30 minutes. And then I had him go ahead and direct one of the songs that next Sunday after the fourth week that he had worked with the choir on. And it really turned out to be, so if you got a choral person in your community, that may be an idea that works better than a weekend clinic. How to read music classes. All of us have people in our choirs who cannot read music, and they don't pride themselves in that. They just confess it, and I'm just a follower or whatever. Would you like to learn how to read music? Well, every time I ever had a class, and it would usually go 4 to 6 weeks, either before choir or on a Sunday afternoon, I would always have a nice 10 to 15 people show up and want to know whole notes, quarter notes. I mean, it can be very basic, the lines and spaces, durations of that, rhythm, how melody works, scales, anything that you want to teach in basic music theory, and they feel really good that they now can have an idea more how to read music in the choir, and they feel more connected and more involved. That's a good motivator for a choir. I also did hymnology classes. I'm a lover of hymns and hymnology, and we would have a 4 to 6 week, just at some time, Sunday afternoon or before choir, hymnology class, just the backgrounds of hymns, how hymns develop through the years, however you wanted to do that. But that's a good training opportunity as well. Now, planning special projects. I've always loved production. But I've been in churches that were a little bit bigger and maybe could do some productions, but this was the Waco Christmas Celebration. It had both secular and sacred music in it. It had a lot of choreography, costuming, and that sort of thing. Here, obviously, it was the first part when we were doing the secular part and doing It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year and those kinds of things, that we would end up with a spiritual emphasis in it. Here's a soloist. We had snow in the sanctuary. Here we had some. We were doing from Nutcracker Ballet. We had bears from all over the world There's the Chinese section of the Nutcracker. Here we had a Celtic thing, a river dance. We have some of our top dancers here did an amazing job at sort of a river dance, Celtic kind of a thing. Little children, we involved little kids. It's snowing again, the little Eskimo. I think the song here was Let It Snow, I think. But we involved from first grade through youth and through our adults. In order to be in this production, you had to be a member of the choir for your age. So the only people who could audition for children who could audition are children who were in children's choirs. Same thing, youth choir. So that back supported your choir ministry as well. The monks, most of you have seen the monks somewhere. I picked it up from this thing from Gerald Ray, who was at First Houston, who's my father in music ministry. But I've used this through the year, both in Miami and in Waco. The Rockettes, basically, are once again our better dancers doing choreography to that. And this is sign language they were doing, either O Holy Night or some song that we had some of our ladies, about a dozen of our ladies, come up in front of the choir and do sign language. Here's the Waco choir in the concert scene. We did a candlelight processional sometimes, and then come into the choir loft with candles. And then we would put our adults in the balcony on either side. We had a wraparound balcony, so we had half the choir on one side of the stage, the other on the other side of the stage, up in the balcony. And then the children and youth would be the biblical characters, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and villagers and that sort of thing. And this is the Waco production. And you saw our teenage girls were the teen angels, as it were. Miami Christmas pageant, we had a bigger production there. And we had it at the Civic Auditorium in Miami, at Dade County Auditorium, where they had the opera and the symphony and all of that. But it was a very similar event to this, and that was a choir there on that stage. The Toy Soldiers, here were the monks, the Miami monks. We did an old English scene. They were ringing handbells and singing a ladies' group. And our nativity scene there, we were able to use live animals in that auditorium. We did the entire life of Christ as a second act in this production, and then this was the Ascension. We used some lasers as well, and once again the teenagers, the angels, and this is the adult choir down here in biblical garb. Easter productions. The Waco Easter pageant, they had done this several years before I came to Columbus Avenue. We did one, this is one Waco Easter pageant when I was there, but it got to be too much to try to do both Christmas and Easter, and the church or the powers that be said, let's go with Christmas. But this was the, actually here on Baylor campus in Waco Hall, the church would rent that. And here's the Da Vinci Lord's Supper, Last Supper rather. Crucifixion, and this was the finale scene of that. This was at our church. This was the Living Last Supper. Adam Paul Williams, I don't know if you know, he's a really fine tenor locally here. He played Christ in Glen Rose at the Promise a couple of years. Really fine tenor. The rest of these are our guys, and they were all the disciples, and then they would come to life and tell their part of the story. And had some ladies who were setting the table, so it was a drama. The stage was full of just actors, and then the choir was actually in the balcony, back to the balcony, looking toward the stage. That was a little tricky because the only instrumentation we had was piano and organ, which were down, way down front, and we were up here. But it worked out pretty good, and the choir did a good job from singing from behind. Some choirs do that all the time, but it was a little unusual to us. Non-seasonal productions, A Christ in the Classics. I've got to move on. A Christ in the Classics, I've got this program over here, but if you haven't seen it, I was going to do Messiah at Columbus Avenue, and I got thinking, there's some other really great Christ music, choral music, other than just Messiah, and I've done Messiah before. But so I got some of that great music, put it with artwork of medieval artwork, 13th through 18th century artwork with narration. And if you'd like, I've got, like I said, a program over here if you don't have one. But if you're a fairly traditional church, you can handle. It wasn't that hard. I mean, we can handle. We did some handle. We did about five. But we also did Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. We did, what else did we do? God So Loved the World, The Stainer. Yeah, I did a lot of the really great, well-known classic music about Christ. And so that turned out to be a really fine event for us. Involving your people in hymns and things with other churches. And this is a huge hymn center. There's David Hamilton again. Kurt Kaiser, Melinda Doolittle, Steve Green, and David Crowder. And we ended up that getting so big that we got the Farrell Center. And this is actually choir rehearsal. We had 600 in the choir and about 40 churches involved. And let me get on. This is a little blurry, but there's the Baylor Symphony. All the Baylor choirs were involved too. This is the Baylor Symphony Orchestra. And it turned out to be really neat. There's Crowder, Steve Green, Kurt Kaiser. And that's Melinda Doolittle right over there. And David conducting the orchestra. This is a really fine moment. I got to tell you about this. I don't want to run out of time, but one of Kurt's great songs, obviously, "Oh How He Loves You and Me," and one of Crowder's songs is "How He Loves." And I would like to say this is my idea, but it wasn't. It was Gary Rhodes' idea. But I asked the guys if they would do it, and both of them jumped at it. They were working out the logistics on this. This was in rehearsal. But Kurt started leading the congregation in "Oh, I Loves You and Me," and Crowder walks up on the stage and starts strumming, and ends, strums the end of "Oh, I Loves You," then goes into "How He Loves," his song, and then did a tag with Kurt coming back, "Oh, how he loves you." Oh, wow, it was a moment. And this was the whole purpose of this, the older generation, the younger generation. We had tons of college students who would not normally come to a hymn sing. They came to this because Crowder was there. And so it was a great, great event. But that was a moment for sure of that evening. And here's sort of can't really tell too much, but a panorama. Choir here, orchestra here, and then I said about 6,000 people at that hymn sing. This was about 2 years ago. Choir tours is another way to go. Here, youth mission trips. I think this was Nicaragua when we went there. Also did. This week we went to Port Arthur and did after Hurricane Rita and did some work there. There are kids doing some and then doing concerts as well, redoing that barn. This is a little scary. This one, I don't mind telling you, but they took the whole roof off and put the whole roof back on in a week. And we had one guy who knew what he was doing, but only one. And our kids just did what he said, and it turned out great. And here they are singing in one of the churches. Mission opportunities, adult choir, prison trip, one of the best things we started doing maybe about 10 years ago at Columbus. Went every year, Friday through Sunday. Did about five prisons down in Central Texas area. Here are the people checking in. There's one of the prisons. This is in the prison. We couldn't take any picture of the prisoners because you can't do that. But here's our choir singing there in that event. This is one of the neatest things. This is Deanie. And I've got to tell you about Deanie. She was at a women's prison and came up after the concert and I saw her while we were singing and turned around. I saw her face and it was just beaming, and she came up to me how much it had meant to her, and she said she would love to be in a choir like that. And I said, well, how much longer are you in? I think this was in February. I said, I'll get out next January. I said, when you get out, why don't you come to Waco and join my choir? And she said, really? I said, yeah, I'd love to have you. And so we started corresponding. She got out in January and came to choir practice and hasn't missed since. Mm-hmm. And the Waco Tribune Herald did a feature on her. There's our choir loft back there. And here she is in our choir. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful testimony of God changing lives and doing special. And it meant so much to our choir to have that happen. Here's our college choir going on a prison trip. And our youth ensemble went to the youth facility. You can't go into an adult facility if you're youth. Right. Going to a prison trip as well. Okay, maintaining choir members. I'm going to have to go high speed here. Here's a choir. We're trying something new this year. If you're going to miss choir, simply see our, my friend Brutus with your excuse. So you might try that. Have a golly. That might be another choir officer. Keeping in touch with people. A pre-rehearsal email. Just say, hey, remember choir, whatever, like that, just quickly. Pre-rehearsal text. I did this with youth choir and with orchestra, which was mostly college kids. Just texting them, remember rehearsal, see ya, whatever. By the way, easytexting.com is a great website for group emails. I don't know if you know about it or not, but you enter it just like you do an email group, and you can send it out at either 2.5 cents or 5 cents per text. Yes, sir?
Callingpost.com will make a telephone call for, I think it's 6 cents on an email.
Okay, and say that again, which one?
Callingpost.com.
Callingpost.com.
You make one phone call.
Everyone gets it.
And put a message on it, everybody.
Cool. Cool.
Calling.
Okay, thank you. Call unexcused absentees after they've missed that night after rehearsal, the ones who are unexcused.
Bill Green would do that, and he would be up till almost midnight.
Yeah, Bill Green used to do that, a friend of ours, and I picked that up from him. I tried it, and it really worked, but man, it's hard work. You're so tired after choir practice.
Yeah.
But also, I did this with youth choir, call unexcused absentees during rehearsal. And I would have my choir parents go to different and start calling the kids that were, and you know, the parents, they weren't at choir. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was effective.
Yeah.
Email all absentees about Sunday, unexcused or not. Just on Thursday, I had one choir officer who did that. Hey, Mr. Choir, we're singing Majesty and Glory of Your Name this Sunday. Please be here. You know, whatever. Call for music minister if absent 3 weeks. I would call if they'd been absent 3 weeks and these other things had failed and see what's going on. Sometimes stuff we didn't know. Here's another thing. This is added. www.jimfall.com. Worship Planner is one of the worship planning resources. But he has a lot of ways of contacting automatically. Also, now he has choir attendance where you walk through and do your thumbprint. And you take attendance like our fingerprint or thumbprint, I'm not sure which one. But check out that website, jimfall.com. How to promote your events. Okay, we're circling for a landing and I'll lose. There are traditional ways to promote and non-traditional ways to promote. Traditional ways you've probably done, but I'm going to go through them quickly. Handouts, like here is for one of the Christmas productions, and I've got one or two of these over there, I think. Then inside, I always had a lot of pictures. You come to our Christmas cantata, and they said, oh, yeah, right, bathrobes and flip-flops. You know, I've been there, done that. But if you can see, well, it's different. It's not like that. Here's one we did. Christmas in Miami was our theme. Put Santa Claus out on the beach, and did a Christmas in Miami theme for our production that year. You see our dancing flamingos there, etc. So there was our inside of that. Bulletin inserts, things like this, and I've got some of these over here. I'll just go through these quickly. Posters, don't have any samples, but just that same stuff. No, newspaper ads, just, I did most of the black and white. I did one color 1 year. Those are a lot more expensive, but if you can do that in a Waco paper, if you're in Dallas or Houston, it's way too expensive. I understand that. Radio ads, same thing. Small town, cheaper it is. TV ads, if you can afford that and it's in your market. Media alerts. Now, a media alert is where about 6 weeks before an event, you send like a card to everyone in the media, print and electronic media, and say, hey, Waco Christmas celebration is coming up. Here are the dates. That are not a lot of detail. Just, yaha, here we are. And then a press release for print media that had a lot of the detail in it, and public service announcements to TV and radio. They're essentially sort of the same thing, but they're called a little bit different. Okay, now non-traditional ways to promote. Newspaper sticky ads. You see this is the 2-inch square at the top of the paper. It's really expensive. It costs, in Waco, it costs like $1,000 to do that little thing right there. Now, if you have an event where you have some production But you can't do much else. I couldn't do much else if I did that. I did that maybe a couple of years. But it's the front page of everyone's paper. Newspaper articles and photos, if you can get those involved, and also TV and radio interviews. Now on these, you really need to be proactive, and you need to call the religion editor. Hey, remember we got the so-and-so coming up. And always have something that's going to be a little different this year, because they don't want the same old thing. Yeah, this year is our 10th anniversary, and we're doing da-da-da, or this year, we've never done this before, but we're doing something in the production that makes it a little bit different. But in a small market, you can get on the radio and TV with what you're doing. It's harder to do that, once again, in the big markets. We did billboards every once in a while. Those are sort of expensive, but they're can be effective. Christian Happenings is a paper, a religious paper, or that advertises what's happening in the religious community. We also sold our tickets for Waco Christmas Celebration through them, which is a lot cheaper than Ticketmaster, and their fees aren't nearly as big. Direct mail to certain zip codes, you know about that. Free tickets to area ministers, particularly if you have a cost to your event. Giving every pastor in your city and every music director free family tickets, then that would get it on their radar, and then they'll might spread it to, or they can bring a group or have a group parade if they want to bring their choir, their senior adults, or whoever. Group tickets to churches, once again, I just mentioned that. Event website, I just took a picture of my computer, and this Waco Christmas Celebration, and just some of the pages on that, and having a website. And there's one of the scenes. We have pictures of our production. Email blast to forward. Send this as an email and ask everyone in your choir to forward that to their whole list. And this tells everything about, in this case, about that hymn sing that we had. Walk your block. This is one of the best things ever. We had a bulletin board right outside the choir room, and this was the city of Waco. And what we asked people to do, if you will pass out our brochures this year, we'll give you a free t-shirt, and you just go to, and if there's a couple, give them two free shirts that say Waco Christmas Celebration, and hand everyone in your neighborhood in your block, and it's usually 8 or 10 people, not that many people. Then they would mark where their block was, and you see we covered all the places we covered in the city. We have a long narrow where people lived and where they walked their block, and they would sign up and do that. And it really got them out. This got, not just choir, but everyone in the church got involved in publicizing the event by walking their block. So we had as many or more non-choir people do this than choir people. T-shirts to the adult choir. And these are the t-shirts we give out. It said Waco Christmas Celebration. On the back it said www.wacochristmas.com. Just ask me. And that's obviously our website. But people would ask them, what's that? And then you could tell them about the Waco Christmas Celebration. This is for our backstage crew. These were black with some print on it, and it said WCC crew, and they would have all the black, but they love the long sleeve black shirts, and I would give those to them. This can get a little pricey, but once again, if it's part of your budget or ticket sales or whatever. I would go into youth choir, and I would say, okay, if for the next, about a month before the celebration, most of them were in the event, I'm gonna give you a free t-shirt if you'll promise to wear it every Monday between now and WCC. And so the ones that would promise that, whether they did or not, I don't know, but they promised. And they got a free t-shirt, and theoretically they wore them every Monday for those 4 weeks. And then if youth choir every week, remember tomorrow's the day to wear your WCC t-shirt to school. But same shirt, the red one that the adults got. And the congregation would ask them to fill out three names, three friends, who don't go to church anywhere that you need to invite to our event. And they would write it down. I said, I want you to take that with you. Don't turn it in. Take it with you as a reminder to talk to these people and invite them. You can put it as a Facebook event. Facebook ads are really cheap, and they can be targeted. Twitter, if you want to tweet, you can tweet. I've just sort of tweeted a little bit, not too much, but people who are big tweeters can get the word out like that. And here's one of the craziest things that I ever did. When I was in Miami, we did the Miami Christmas pageant. I found out there was a deacon at another church that loved to fly his plane and put banners on the back, and you could put anything you wanted if you just paid for the banner. It cost like $75. And so University of Miami was having a home game in the Orange Bowl, and so I hired him to get the Waco Christmas celebration, the Miami Christmas pageant. The Waco Christmas celebration wouldn't have been that big a deal. The Miami Christmas pageant, and he, during the game, he flew all around. And I don't know if anyone else looked up, but I did, and I felt good about it. Hopefully other people may have noticed that and just brought it to their heads.